Well, a good Tuesday afternoon. This is the Green Zone. Jamie and Locker with you. Plugging the vehicles tonight. Minus 25 is a low.
We're on a bit of a roller coaster, right? Because it was colder on the weekend, and then all of a sudden, boom, it was like quite mild this morning.
Yeah, this was one of those times where it was colder at like 9 o'clock at night than it was at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
Just warmed up through the overnight hours. But now it's plummeting tonight. Also, highway hotline. If you can, text us in the Kindersley area. It looks a little messy on the highway hotline out there. 1-877-332-8255. Has some blowing snow making its way from west to east through the province of Saskatchewan this afternoon. We begin the Green Zone with the starting lineup, the top sports headlines. Well, I guess the Patriots just might be for real.
Here's one to the end zone, and Kayshon Booty. Touchdown, New England. Patriots in field goal range at the moment. Here's one downfield, and caught for the touchdown. Kyle Williams.
Yes, 33-15, the Patriots beat the Giants. Drake May throws for two touchdown passes. They have won 10 straight games, the first team to hit 11 wins. Of course, the franchise's longest streak since winning 10 consecutive games in 2015. Drake May only had 7 incompletions last night, no interceptions. Here's what I think. I think the true test is coming for the Patriots. They have a bye week this week. And then they host the Buffalo Bills on December 14th.
Yeah.
I think we figure it out where we're at.
It is hard to ignore a team, regardless of how I feel about the Patriots and my distaste for the organization as a whole. It is hard to ignore 10 straight wins, though. Like the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not surprising that people are starting. It is surprising that it's taken this long to have the conversation. Is this a Super Bowl favorite?
Well, when you look at the teams they have played, okay, in this 10-game winning streak, they did beat the Bills and they did beat the Bucks, both games on the road. But outside of that, it's the Panthers who were bad at the time, the Saints, the Titans, the Falcons, the Jets, the Bengals, and the Giants. And that is not a big test of who the Patriots are. And that's just strength of schedule and where they placed last year and who they're up against this year. I think in 2 weeks, December 14th, at home against the Bills, then they have the road against the Ravens. Here we go. There's your test for the New England Patriots. But hey, they're still top of the table in the AFC.
NHL Jets have a closed-door meeting after their loss last night.
Norris, near circle, holds and fires, deflected in front, scores! And Buffalo coming back for more, scores! Sabres try to grow their game, they do it, front, score!
So Mr. Comrie got pulled, letting 3 goals in on 14 shots. Hellebuck may be out until the Olympic break. He did a knee thing, and obviously he did it because he wants to be ready for the Olympics. He's going to be the goaltender for the United States of America. I thought that there was a chance he was going to make it back earlier, but I was reading today that it might take a little bit longer. Jets are 1-5 in their last 6 games, so clearly a skid that they would like to have stopped. It'll be interesting to have the conversation about goalies and the Olympics with Drew Remenda when we drop the gloves with him. When do we get Drew on?
4:05.
4:05 today.
Jordan Binnington, speaking of goaltenders in the Olympics,
speaking of being yanked,
not too happy last night after being pulled after 2 goals in the first period by his head coach. Here's Jim Montgomery after the game.
I love Jordan Binnington. He's a competitor. He raises his games in the big moments all the time. I love him. You know, he walked off the ice. He said, I love you. I said, I love you too. And we're both competitors by nature. And at the end of the period, he waited for me. We apologized. We moved on. It's over and done with.
Jordan Binnington spoke today and said, yeah, after 2 goals, I'm a competitor. I didn't think I deserved to be pulled, but me and Monty are good. He's a competitor. I'm a competitor. Things are going to happen. All good. But is it for Jordan Binnington and Canada for the Olympics? So it was Anaheim 4, the Blues 1 last night.
All right, we'll move on to the CFL. This is huge news. The Argonauts have found their guy. Mike Miller is the new head coach.
We did look outside first, and when we came back inside, we found the guy.
So we talked to 400 people.
They all said
and then offered it to our quarterback coach. Mike Miller, you may not know who he is, but he has coached at every level in football. This guy has been CFL, NCAA, NFL, XFL, NFL Europe. He's been everywhere.
He might not have coached flag. That might be the only
That's
one
the only thing on. He hasn't coached is flag football. And obviously Miller is replacing Ryan Dinwiddie, who left in the offseason to become the head coach and general manager of the Ottawa Redblacks. And they had to actually slow him down to grab his stuff because he was running out of town. You might want to take your stuff with you.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I listened to the entire news conference today with Mike Miller. It seems like he is a well-seasoned coach, said all the right things you need to say. And Chad Kelly was in the back of the room. He got a shout-out by Pinball Clemens as Chad Kelly had his best season with Mike Miller as his quarterback's coach. So,
is it just me? Again, this is a little bit of a left-to-center question, but does he sound like a football player, like coach? Like, that's all I could think of when he was talking. I was like, oh, my goodness, this guy. Like, if I just met this guy on the street, yeah. I go, do you coach football?
It's just that philosophy.
Our players understand that they can answer yes to three questions. And I would want this from my staff as well. And that is, can I trust them? Will they make me better? And do they care about me?
So he's saying his players are going to be able to say yes for him for all those questions. All right. With the Toronto Argonauts.
Seems like a nice guy.
He does. And who knows? I've said it with JB. When Ken Miller got hired to replace Kent Austin, people went, okay, what are we doing here? A veteran guy who's never been a head coach. I don't think Saskatchewan really regretted Ken Miller being the head coach of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Maybe it'll work out the same for the Toronto Argonauts. Let's get to curling real quick. There's a new Team Canada for the Scotties Tournament of Hearts next year. Of course, Rachel Homan was to be Team Canada, but she's going to the Olympics. So Carrie Anderson's Team Canada again.
A fab, four in a row for Team Canada.
That was Carrie Anderson's rink 2 years ago when they won their fourth consecutive Scotties title. They were the champs from 2020 to 2023. They were runners-up in the final last year against Rachel Homan.
So that's how they picked it?
Yes, and she's second in the standings to Rachel Homan in Canada. So it's the veteran
team.
There's
some disagreement online a little bit.
Okay, there's not going to be a Team Canada. It's the defending champ spot. That is what that spot is. You can just go, okay, no, we're just going to open up another team, and that's what is happening. Another team will now qualify. They'll wait to see who that team is. It'll be the team that's ranked highest on the ranking system who does not qualify through their province. Of course, provincial playdowns are in the next month or so. So after all that shuffles out, they'll go, okay, who's next up? Who's not at the Scotties? They're going to be the extra team coming in for the Scotties Tournament of Hearts.
Okay, not abnormal for me to ask a dumb question. So locker dumb question time. What perks do you get as Team Canada in the Scotties?
You get to wear the maple leaf that says Canada.
That's it? There's nothing else?
That is it.
Okay, all right. Then I'm not going to be upset about Carrie getting that choice.
Coming up here on the Green Zone, we'll dig into the Toronto Argonauts' new head coach and how important is coaching in football compared to other sports? Is it the most important coaching job in professional sport? This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Tuesday afternoon, a Tuesday where the Toronto Argonauts have finally announced who their new head coach is after Ryan Dinwiddie jetted off to or took the bus to Ottawa, Ontario.
Ran.
To be the sprinted. He might have ran there. So today they announced that they have hired Mike Miller to be their head coach.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Yeah, Mike Miller. Not a big name in CFL circles, but behind the scenes in Toronto has been an important piece. He has been the quarterback's coach over the last few years, and the success of McLeod Bethel Thompson and Chad Kelly and Nick Arbuckle under his guidance, definitely that caught Michael Pinball Clemens' attention.
All of his quarterbacks had their best seasons, their best years, right, under his supervision. And so that played a major role in the thought process as we move forward. And I see someone at the back of the room there that is also excited along with me that he is here. So, Chad, great to see you, buddy.
And so Chad Kelly was in the back of the room. Still probably a question mark over his availability next season, being as how the broken leg was supposed to be good to go in week one and then week four and then week seven. And then he didn't play at all in 2025, did the quarterback of the Toronto Argonauts. So Mike Miller, quarterback's coach, is now the head coach of the Toronto Argonauts.
So you're leaning on the optimist side of this? Just based on your comparison to
Ken Miller, I am actually more on the I've got a bad feeling about this for the Toronto Argonauts.
Oh, really? Okay. Why?
History. Like, you go through the history of Toronto bringing in a guy with little experience. Bart Andrus comes to mind, who probably was using that spray hair black. Like, if it was a hot day, probably getting the Rudy Giuliani black beads of sweat rolling down his head. Like, he was a failure. I can't remember for the life of me who coached the Montreal Alouettes for 4 weeks until they fired him. That was, it's one of those, like, well, listen to what Pinball said.
We did look outside first, and when we came back inside, we found the guy.
They tried to get Corey Mace. No thanks. They tried to get Orlando Steinauer. No thanks. They interviewed Rick Campbell. No thanks. And that was like, hey, Mike, you want the job?
Yeah.
That's rarely a place for success for an organization. And we're going to have this debate later on. I believe football, coaching football, is the most important coaching position for the success of an organization. I think it's football. More than hockey, more than baseball, basketball, soccer, curling, anything else. Any coach, football, I think, is the biggest one. It's the most important job for the success in a pro sport when it comes to coaches.
Not basketball.
No. You can win with just put a bunch of all-stars on the floor for 40 minutes and you can win a basketball game.
But not every level of basketball is the NBA, where you have the best players in the world. You got 700 of the best players in the world. You just throw out the top five guys and hope for the best.
Yeah, sure.
And but
football coach, like, if you get bad coaches in football, you're going to be unprepared and your star power can't win games for you and you're going to get leveled. Look at the New England Patriots.
Hockey?
Vrabel was a great coach. Look at the Rough Riders and Corey Mace.
Hockey is one of those team sports. You've got to get that team rallied behind you.
Just call the game goaltender. You're set.
So you just need a good goaltender and that's it? The game's over?
So that was a Paul McClain.
I don't know. I think there's
from way back in the day.
The interesting thing about coaching for me now is you hear a lot of guys talking about how much more difficult it is based on how you need to coach. There was a way of doing things in the past where you just didn't let anybody have water and you're just really mean to them and they were scared of you and you got something out of them. Now it's like safe places and
coach, why do we do this? Well, son, this is why we do this. It went back in the day.
I'm out.
It doesn't matter. Get your butt out there. You're back checking tonight. In a sun machine. On a cloud of sun, I drift in the night. Any place it goes is right. Goes far, lies near. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Yeah, tonight you're going to be plugging in the vehicle this evening. Minus 25 in Regina, 28 in Saskatoon. Wind chills into the minus 30-some range as the temperature will be dropping.
It's the flurries, too. Like light flurries flying around the cause. Problems.
Yeah, a little blowing snow around areas in Saskatchewan. We want to check the highway hotline if you're heading out this afternoon. But right now, we're going to continue our tour around WHL markets in Saskatchewan. We land in Moose Jaw with the head coach of the Warriors, Mark O'Leary. Mark, thanks for your time this afternoon.
All right, no problem.
So let's get into where the coach feels your team is. 12 wins right now, already getting close to where you were for the total last year in that pendulum swing of a championship to a rebuild. So how do you feel your team's at this point right now compared to where you were early December in 2024?
Well, I think the players deserve a lot of credit in terms of the steps they've taken, you know, not just as a team, but individually as well. I know we challenged them pretty hard at the end of last year and in terms of what they can do individually to help themselves and in turn help us as a team. And I thought they had really good summers, and we've shown improvement in taking a step early on here, but certainly not satisfied, and I know there's an awful lot more there.
Mark, 2 years ago, you win the WHL championship. Last year, you missed the playoffs. Building a team and keeping a team competitive in the WHL is, well, to say the least, it's a bit challenging.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you look at history, it tends to repeat itself in terms of, you know, what it takes to win the ultimate championship is, you know, you have to go all in, and you know, sometimes to do that, it means you sacrifice on the other end. You know, the only I'm thankful for a lot of things, but you know, you're thankful that you won. It could have been the same result last year, going through the tough season we did and not winning the year before. So it's a risk you take, but I think that it's one that you have to take, you know, not only for the players that put in the time and the effort, but the fans as well. You know, they want to see something building, something that you're pushing towards, and that's what the game of hockey is all about.
I'm going to skip to Lyndon, Lyndon Lakovich. You might be getting a call from Hockey Canada for the World Juniors. If you had a sit down with Alan Miller, coach, what would be your pitch for having Lyndon make Team Canada?
Well, I think it would start with, you want guys that can perform at their best on the big stage. And, you know, you look back at, you know, when we won, a big part of that was Lyndon. He got better as the playoffs went on and certainly scored some big goals for us in overtime when our backs were against the wall. And I think you need that in international competition. You know, it's very tight checking, and you might not get a whole lot of looks to capitalize. And you need to be ready, and you need to have guys that, can put the puck in the back of the net, make that one big play, and maybe they only see one chance. And certainly Lyndon can check those boxes.
I'm interested in how an organization views players being taken away in the middle of the season for a tournament like the World Juniors. Is it something that you get behind, or is it something you go, oh, we're losing another guy again? I'm very curious about that.
No, I can genuinely say that, you know, there's pure happiness for the player. And yeah. I think that, maybe if you're earlier on and, you know, in your coaching, it's easy to look from the outside and say, you know, it hurts your team. But I think if you have that big picture thinking, it's just so good for the player, and it's so good for the organization to see a player, reach his ultimate goal at that time of the year. And, you know, you get a better player back, you know, not just the experience, but the confidence that it can bring in terms of playing with better players. And it's no different than training camp at the start of the year when they head off to NHL camp and they might miss a few games with you. Sure, you'd love to have them in your lineup, but you know you're getting a better player back.
Mark O'Leary, the head coach of the Moose Jaw Warriors here on the Green Zone. The team, of course, made a few trades already. He went out and got Chase Woodski from Red Deer, a Saskatchewan guy. He was getting a bit of maybe a reduced role than he was used to with Red Deer. Well, how happy were you able to pull off that move, and why did goaltending become a high priority this season to get this 19-year-old in your net?
Well, I think, you know, I know I was very excited. Certainly we've seen Chase play throughout his career quite a bit in Red Deer, and I think it's easy to see when he's in the net what he can bring to any team, and for us it's just a calming influence. You know, I think when you're a goaltender, it's not only the big miraculous saves that you make, but it's just those simple ones that are just one and done. And I think that's what his biggest asset is, that, you know, if you're under a little bit of pressure, there's a little bit of zone time. If he sees that first puck, it's just one and done, and there's no rebound or second chances. And I think, a lot of goals against can be prevented that way when, D zone coverage doesn't have to extend and you get over, get a little bit more tired and bad things can happen. So he's been a great addition, and I know he'll only continue to get better.
Another guy that's catching people's attention, Landon McFadden. He's taken a big jump this season. What are you seeing about his game that's getting him where he is right now?
Yeah, real proud of Landon, and he's just a great example of what we talked about off the hop here. You know, guys where, you know, you challenge them in the off season, and, you know, you see the skill set that he has. He's able to, you know, whether it's making plays to, you know, set other players up, or certainly his shot and his ability to finish. We know and we knew that was there. It's, to me, it's the work habits and the competitiveness and, you know, the play before he has to make a play that has improved the most. And he's off to a great start here, and certainly a real important piece to anything that we do moving forward.
We're talking a lot about coaching today. The Argonauts just hired their new head coach in football, and the importance of coaching, Mark. I'm curious on this. Doesn't matter the sport. What is the most important aspect? Is it the X's and O's, or is it the personal side of the coaching and that connection with the player?
Well, I think it's being able to marry the two. You know, I think that certainly you have to have a plan, but the plan is only as good as, you know, the player's ability to execute that. And I think as a coach, we have to take responsibility in that, you know, two of the same two coaches can put the same plan up on the board, and you know, one team executes it better because the players believe in it. And I think that's your job as a coach, is to have the players, you know, believe in the team plan in terms of what's going to bring success, and then believe in, you know, the process to get them better as an individual. And so much of that is just communication. So, you know, any player wants to know four things. It's where are they now, where can they get to, how do they get there, and how are they doing? If you can answer those four things on a consistent basis, then I feel like, you know, the player has buy-in and he improves.
Mark, the Moose Jaw Warriors, a small market team, and we've had a lot of conversation about the rules from the NCAA that changed. I'm curious, are you noticing an impact, maybe not even locally, but in the league as a whole, has it impacted you at all?
Yeah, I think that it's, for us personally as a team, you know, time will tell how it affects us big picture. But, you know, for us, I think we have players on our roster now that we might not have had if, you know, things didn't open up. You know, they have aspirations
really
to go NCAA afterwards. You know, and probably would have spent time in junior A before they headed that way. And now they're with us, and, you know, they want to see how things go that way. So it's been positive in that sense. But I think if you look league wide, you know, there's some really good players that are not playing in our league that would be if it was closed off. So, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out when things even out a little bit. Right now, it's the shiny new toy to be able to head out there. And again, it gives the players more options, which is fine. And, you know, gives us more options as well in terms of the players that are available.
Well, Mark, always appreciate you with a chat, and nice to see the Warriors rising up the standings in year two of the rebuild. Congratulations so far. Thanks for your time this afternoon.
All right, great. Anytime, guys. Have a great day.
That is Mark O'Leary, head coach of the Moose Jaw Warriors here on the Green Zone. Coming up next, we are going to remember, it's an anniversary today, Locker. It's 30 years ago today. Locker and I were reminiscing. We were both watching this game live Hockey Night in Canada.
It was such an impactful game. And
it's one of those, were you watching this one? You probably were.
I was totally watching this live. I remember going, what did he say?
Happy 30th anniversary to the Colorado Avalanche on a franchise-defining moment in a game that didn't involve the Colorado Avalanche. That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKO.
Ipswich Farm remembers.
The Saskatchewan Roughriders are Grey Cup champions.
Loose puck, everybody scores! Tie game!
Have another donut!
It's better time as me, I'll be back in time.
Yeah, I know that. You know me?
Gotta get back in time.
On this day in sports history, Locker and I remember where we were on December the 2nd.
Well, I don't remember where I was.
30 years ago.
I remember watching the game.
It was 1995. It was Hockey Night in Canada. And it was Patrick Waugh's eventually final game as a member of the Montreal Canadiens. That happened 30 years ago tonight. Remember him getting shelled by Detroit?
Mariano Fedorov scores 9-1. And the flood. At the Forum.
And boys, finally, here comes Pat Jablonski and Patrick. Hey, it's not your fault. Get out of there, get a rest, get ready for the next game, and forget about this baby. It's over. And Patrick Waugh just went over and said something to Corey, and I'm not so sure what it was, but he went right to him. That'll be even more of a story tomorrow, possibly.
Hey, the plot thickens.
Be more of a story tomorrow, possibly. Oh, it was a story. He told them that's it. When he walked by the coach, chill. The water bottles froze.
Remember, no one made eye contact with him.
Oh.
From the coaching staff, everyone was.
Patrick, that was it. He demanded a trade. He wanted out, and he got his wish. 4 days later, on December the 6th, Patrick Waugh and Mike Keane get traded to Colorado for Andre Kovalenko, Martin Rutschinski, and goaltender Jocelyn Thibeault. It worked out pretty okay for the Colorado Avalanche.
Who's the coach again? I can picture him right now. Jamie Nye, what's wrong with us? I can picture him standing.
Mario Tremblay.
Tremblay! Thank you, Scotty.
The Avalanche, of course, would go on to win the Cup that season with Waugh in net.
Yeah. It's interesting. So when he flipped out, he's obviously coaching the Islanders, and they're playing Dallas, and Mikko Rantanen, like, ran one of their guys into the boards. He's out for 4 to 6 months. And Waugh went after him. It's funny because that scene was similar in that no one said anything. Like, Patrick Waugh has been a lot calmer behind the bench as the coach of the New York Islanders.
Compared to when he was Colorado,
he was losing his mind on a fairly regular basis. But now when he does it, he almost gets this kind of grace because it's like, oh, that's just Patrick being Patrick.
Yeah, he was. And remember the fans in that game when he made that save?
Long shot by Fedorov and a mock cheer, and Patrick Waugh responds. He did not appreciate that. And some boos come back at him.
Yeah, he was waving at them.
Yeah, he was. I'm sure he was with his gloves on. I'm sure there were his waves.
It's like driving through the prairies with my grandmother years ago. And she was like, people are so friendly here. No, that's not. They're not waving at Grandma.
But That was it. 30 years ago tonight, Patrick Waugh played his final game as a member of the Montreal Canadiens.